It's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. We've got a loaded show here for you today on Preds Insiders. We'll be joined by Chase McCabe, our program director, also a member of Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators. We'll get Darren McFarland's thoughts on the Predators as well. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Largely a good week in terms of the results last week for the Predators. They get 4 out of 6 points. They win against Philadelphia and Ottawa. Rough one on Friday night against Buffalo, though. Buffalo's been playing a little bit better as of late, but a tough loss nonetheless for the Predators against the Sabres. We discussed that game and maybe what the implications are from the game and what it means for the Predators as they move forward here this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Here was that discussion in the aftermath of the loss for the Predators against the Buffalo Sabres. Ugly loss for the Predators on Friday against the Buffalo Sabres. They fall 4-3 against Buffalo. It was an emotional night in Buffalo. Rick Jeanneret, their longtime play-by-play guy, basically having his version of a jersey retired. They had a ceremony in the pregame for him. Rose a banner up to the rafters there for him, and he obviously is a very popular figure in Buffalo, meant a lot to the Buffalo Sabres, still does mean a lot to that organization. So there was some juice that Buffalo had coming out of the gate, and they got out to an early lead in that game. The Predators eventually, even though it was a weird game, kind of a weird first period, it was 3-3 after one on Friday for the Predators. And ultimately, Buffalo scores again in the third. They make it 4-3. And the Predators, honestly, they just never really threatened all that much in that game. And they lose on the road to Buffalo 4-3. And I said this after the game on Friday as well. I know that last week, on the whole, you get 4 out of 6 points. So certainly the results were okay last week, getting 4 out of 6 points. The way that they have played as of late, they have not been very good. For the last couple of weeks, they've looked like a pretty average, at best, hockey team. And now you're sitting here finding yourself in the standings. With the weekend's action concluded, Vegas has now tied you in points. Dallas is 1 point behind you as well. With the good thing about the Stars is now you're at even on games played. So you're 1 point ahead of the Stars at this point. But you've lost your breathing room with them. And Vegas has tied you. Now they have played 3 more games than you have as well. So you have that going for you. The playoff odds are still at 83.3% for the Predators, according to MoneyPuck.com. But I do not like the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks. And my question for you, Joe Rexroad, is it time for concern for this Predators team based on the way that they have looked over the last couple of weeks?
I think you're right. Just over, even with some of the wins. You know, for example, the Ottawa win, it wasn't a great game, which John Hines said right afterward. I would say over this stretch, it hasn't been very good. So concern, yes, understanding that this happens, that you go through certain stretches of ups and downs, and, you know, all teams do. I mean, this is what happens in an 82-game season. But I still think, I mean, if you want to talk about concern, I think I'm keeping to and continue to go back to UC Saros. Not that he's like terrible or anything, but he has to be better than fine. He has to be better than pretty good or yep. Good. He has to be. That's like a prerequisite for this team to really do anything. And it's been a decent stretch here for the most part. He's been okay, but he's not quite top sharpness. And there's just some pucks getting past him that you hope don't, and I think it starts there. And I hear you. Like it's how do you just basically just not really get much going at Buffalo, which by the way has had a lot of big wins lately.
They have.
It looked like the other night, like they were like celebrating their own playoff series win with that victory. So it wasn't your typical. you know, a game against a team near the bottom of the standings. But that is concerning that you don't get much going in a game that's so important to you that you fought back at one point to tie. But I still think it's Soros more than you start there and then go to everything else.
Well, and, you know, the big part of this also is you look at the schedule that you've got coming up. You got Minnesota tomorrow, which is going to be a huge game here. You're at Ottawa on Thursday, and then it's Florida and Pittsburgh back-to-back this weekend before you get into a stretch of, you know, Edmonton, St. Louis, Calgary twice, another game with Minnesota, Tampa, Colorado. Like, there's a ton of games left that are very, very challenging when you look at the standings right now. I mean, look, I say the Minnesota game is huge. I mean, right now they're 9 points up on you with the same amount of games played. So I don't really know that catching Minnesota at this point is really all that realistic anymore. But you look at the standings, like, you got to find a way to win some of these games because your quality of competition coming down the stretch is really, really high. And that's why I think the loss to Buffalo stings a little bit more. Is you look at the schedule, you may need every point you can get coming down the stretch here if you're the Predators. And to let two of them slide by like that against Buffalo – wasn't good. Look, like you said, Buffalo's been playing well as of late. They've taken down Toronto. They've taken down Pittsburgh. They've taken down a bunch of really good teams in the East over there. So I'm not going to say they beat Calgary. I mean, they beat a lot of really good teams as of late. So Buffalo is playing much better. But with a playoff spot on the line coming down the stretch, I just didn't see much push out of the Predators on Friday, and that was disappointing.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Minnesota, it's a huge game just because every game is huge, but it's against a really good team. I mean, Minnesota is, you know, they're still fighting St. Louis, you know, for second place and home ice in the first round. Yeah, it would take something pretty amazing for the Preds to end up catching them. But I mean, that's the thing, Minnesota, I mean, what are they, 9-0-1 of the last 10?
Yeah.
I mean, they're absolutely tearing it up. But that's just that's the thing. You get that game becomes it's a lot harder game. You can't afford to not get your 2 points in that game when you blow a game against Buffalo, you know. And most of these good teams that you're playing down the stretch too, they have stakes. I mean, Florida, you know, they're fighting for the one seed in the East with Carolina. So I mean, they've got big incentive. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh is in there. Trying to get home ice of the first round. It's either them or the Rangers, probably. What a series that'll be in the first round. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good teams fighting for a lot. They're going to be very difficult games to win. And that's why you have, what, one more game left on the schedule where maybe that's good, I guess. You could look at it that way. You know, one more game against a team that just is playing out the string. Well, maybe you have Chicago, too, one more time, right?
Yep.
Maybe it's good. You know, if you're playing, you know, better teams that are like there's no chance of weirdness. It's just like these are huge games. It's a playoff push. Consider this to be just like the playoffs. But the bottom line is they just have to play better, and you have to hope that UC Soros gets back to maximum sharpness.
Well, now we're talking two games in a row now where there's not been a point from Roman Josi, which is incredible. Like, there can't be too many games this year where he's gone through a two-game stretch and not put up a point. And I'm not saying that, like, that's the reason that they've been struggling as of late, but, I mean, that just kind of
– there's your issue.
Yeah, they had 59. Take him out. Put him on the waiver wire. But
maybe third parent.
Yeah,
maybe,
slide him down. Yeah. 10 minutes a night, no more. But it's just – it's one of those things, too. Like, we've talked about it. Like – Forsberg's been scoring. Duchesne's been scoring. Josi's been playing at an elite level. And they're still, like, they need all of it just to be in the spot that they're in right now, which is a wild card spot, you know, holding on to the playoffs. Like, if you don't have it, like, if Forsberg and Duchesne slow down, and I know that Forsberg scored on Friday and Duchesne had a couple of points, but, like, I didn't think they were all that threatening 5-on-5. Like, if those guys slow down and Roman Josi slows down a little bit, like, they've been so good all year and you're in a wild card spot. What does that mean if they're not quite as good coming down the stretch? And it's interesting to think about, especially when you combine it with Soros, as you pointed out, which really it's you go back to the All-Star break, his numbers have not been all that great.
Well, you just described a non-playoff team.
Yeah.
Now, they may have done the work to, you know, to still get in, but they certainly could still be on the other side of it. I mean, would you say 83%? What is that, money puck?
Yeah, money puck, 83%.
So that's at least a 10% drop in a week, right?
Yeah. A week in which they won 2 out of 3 games.
There you go. That team with everything else, I mean, basically, again, the most consistent elements of this team have been, you know, those two forwards, Josi, the Hurd line, and the Hurd line. And now with Saros kind of struggling, you know, you can take him off the list. When he was first half Saros, this was a team that was, I mean, remember, they were one in the West for a minute.
Yeah.
They were certainly fighting to have home ice in the playoffs. And now you're talking about absolutely scrapping at the very bottom of the list to get in. So it's not great. And if that does happen, if you do see a slowdown with these top guys who have been dragging this team along throughout the season, I don't have a lot of confidence that there's enough to compensate for that in this forward group.
Certainly going to be a big matchup coming up tomorrow night for the Predators at home at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Chase McCabe. We'll get his thoughts on the Philip Forsberg contract situation and how concerned are we about UC Saros and his numbers since the All-Star break. All that ahead, this is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we are now joined by our fearless leader, the program director, host of Darren Donica Chase, Chase McCabe, here on the program. Chase, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
What's up, Robbie? Good to be here. It's been a minute since I've been on Preds Insiders, so good to be back, and you've done a fine job taking over for Mr. Porth, who's now in Chicago. So.
Yes.
Good to be here. Excited to talk some hockey.
We're excited to have you on with us here, and there's a lot to get to here with you, Chase. I want to start on this front because we got a couple of texts about this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Philip Forsberg, obviously he's continuing to put up points, continuing to score goals. He has not, however, signed a contract extension yet with the Nashville Predators. And at this point, as we know, the trade deadline is well since gone, and it's either going to be free agency for Philip Forsberg or he's going to sign an extension at this point. As you evaluate the situation, both with his contract and the way the team is playing coming down the stretch here, if you're a Preds fan tonight sitting here listening to this and you're worried about Philip Forsberg, how concerned should you be? What do you think is a fair level of worry? How does Chase McCabe come down on the Philip Forsberg contract situation?
I'm still not super concerned. I ultimately think they're going to get this done, mainly because David Poile and the Predators don't really have a choice. They have to figure out how to get it done, and it's probably going to cost them maybe a little bit more than it should. I know David Poile was trying to avoid that, which any GM would want to avoid that.
Sure.
He had several conversations with us on Darren Donick and Chase of his goal was to get it done before the deadline. That didn't happen. But if you're Philip Forsberg and his camp, I mean, you got to do what's best for you too. So I think that Philip met what he said when he talked to you earlier this year and said, you know, he has a contract. He wants to play through the contract. And that's code for saying, let's see how it goes.
Yep.
And I think that was on both fronts. I think that was on his front personally to see what kind of a season he could have. And let's see what this team looks like, because none of us thought that this team was going to be in the position that they're in right now. I didn't think this was going to be a playoff team this year. I thought that maybe they'd be on the cusp and knocking on the door. But I ultimately thought, you know, David Poile's used several adjectives to describe this: competitive rebuild, competitive
transition, whatever out there.
So I didn't think that they would get to this point. However, I did say that if you got Duchesne and Johansson to play anywhere near the level they were supposed to, you may have a shot at it. Well, Duchesne's gone above and beyond, and Johansson's had a pretty darn good year too. So you've gotten that. You've gotten the guys that you're paying a lot of money to actually playing well. And so now I think they're in a position that probably not even Philip Forsberg thought they would be in. And so it makes you think. If I'm him, staying here is probably the right move. You obviously want to make the money, but, you know, $9 million here is a lot different than $9 million in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So that has to be a factor, and that is in the Predators' favor. At the same time, $9 million is a lot of money, and you know, to the hard part about talking about contracts is you go, well, is he really worth that? I think he's probably more. I mean, honestly, he's probably more along the lines of Duchesne's contract. That's probably where he really is.
Yep.
But he's going to get closer to Yossi because his camp is going to say, well, you know, you can't say that Phillip is any less important than Yossi from what he does as a forward. He's the most skilled forward this team's ever had. And even though they didn't draft him, he's basically been here his entire career. So yeah. A lot of things in there. So to answer, that's a long way of answering your question, but I'm not super concerned yet. But being a Braves fan and just going through the Freddie Freeman stuff, you know, there is that in the back of my mind.
My condolences on that part of it, by the way. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I think, and I know Elliot Friedman's talked about this on your guys' show a lot. Like, at the end of the day, like, if he wants to be there and the team wants him there, more times than not, it gets done when that's the case.
Yep.
Not always. And you brought up Freddie Freeman. Not always does it get done, but more times than not, it does. Like, I think the fact that we've not really heard anything on it from the trade deadline, I think, freaks a lot of Predators fans out. I wouldn't necessarily be freaked out by that at this point. Look, I think there's a decent chance that this could get to the end of the regular season, past the playoffs, before there's a contract signed.
Yeah.
But if I'm putting percentages on it, and this is not me reporting anything like that, I would still go 80% that Forsberg re-signs here, 20% that he gets to free agency, which I feel like is pretty good odds at this point if you're a Predators fan.
Yeah.
He wants to be here. That I can tell you.
Yeah, no, and I believe he does. And you know, he's obviously got a family aspect with his fiance being from just down the road in Georgia. And, you know, last I checked, they don't have a team in Georgia anymore. So
RIP to the Thrashers.
RIP to the Thrashers. So this is the closest one. And he has put roots down here. I mean, he lives here a lot during the off season. You see him riding around on his little scooter around Nashville. And so I think it's just, as David Poile likes to joke, I mean, that's the easy part. You know, it's going to be a max deal with eight years. And that's another thing to consider, that if they let this go where he does go to market, he loses that extra year.
He does.
So it would behoove him to get this done before he goes to market, because he can get the eighth year.
Yep.
That's where the Predators have a little bit of an advantage. The money, honestly, I don't think the money is as hard as people make it. He's going to get nine. Like, I don't see anything below nine. It's going to be comparable to that of Yossi. It's the trade protection. And if I knew the moment, I remember the day they announced Yossi's contract, and I looked at Darren McFarland, and I said, this is going to come back when Forsberg comes around, because they gave Yossi full trade protection, which they should have.
Sure.
I mean, he is the face of the franchise. They've done that for two, Pekka-Rinne and Roman Yossi.
Yep.
And they're the faces of the franchise, or Pekka was at the time. Phillip is going to argue, well, am I not just as important? And he has a valid argument. Like, well, I get it.
And I hear what you're saying, and I agree with all of it. I would add to that, the moment they traded away Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis in their long-term deals, if I'm Phillip Forsberg, I'm sitting here, yeah, I'm not signing without one of those. You're not shipping me off 2 years from now when, you know, I'm 2 years into an eight-year contract and you want to get rid of me. That's not happening.
And the catch-22 of it all is, if you think about, let's just pretend we don't know everything, all right? But I just name off those players. So Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Ellis, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchesne. You signed them all. We'll take Yossi out of it. You signed them all to long-term deals.
Yep.
Okay, I throw Forsberg into that. And forget that you know what happened. Wouldn't you pick Forsberg first to sign to a long-term deal?
Zero hesitation.
And so that's what's happened, is you've gotten burnt a couple of times, and it's making you overthink the guy that you really shouldn't have to think about.
Right.
That's where they're at.
I think that's a great point. Chase McCabe on with us here on Preds Insider. So, Chase, I talked about this a little bit last week, UC Saros and his numbers since the All-Star break. And heading into the Ottawa game last week, he was, I think, giving up three goals or more in six out of his past seven. He was right around .889 save percentage during that stretch. And then he comes out against Ottawa, and he looks great and shuts down the Senators. I didn't think the Predators played particularly well in that game, and he was awesome in that game. I didn't think he was bad against Buffalo, but here we are yet again. Four goals given up. There's lots of stuff in front of him that's been shifting around in terms of D-pair combinations, all these things. But the numbers are what they are. They have not been very good for UC Soros, or at least not as good for UC Soros since the All-Star break. What's your level of concern with him at this point with the way that he's been playing? Be that the workload, be that what's going on in front of him. When you factor in the whole picture, how concerned are you about UC Soros right now?
Well, I think I'm a little concerned just because he's in a position he's never been in before. And there's no insurance policy anymore. Now, I don't mean anything disrespectful towards David Riddick,
sure,
because I think David Riddick is a big game Dave. I mean, he's a solid goaltender, but he's not Pekka. And so I think that now you got some people that are going like, oh no, what's going on here? You don't have Pekkarinen to lean on anymore. I think part of it is just a growing process for UC Soros. They haven't played 82 games in 2 years.
Yep.
He's never had this kind of workload in his career. Now you can question that. You can question, okay, you can say, well, John Hines and his staff, maybe, you know, see that there's some fatigue setting in. Maybe they should pencil in more starts for David Riddick than they had originally planned. And maybe they'll do that down the stretch. But, and you can make excuses about the injuries on defense and the defense has to play better. And all of that is valid. But I said this on Fox 17 last night with Jill Jelinek. I said, listen, the last line of defense is UC Soros.
Yep.
And he's got to be more consistent. I think there are times where you see him, he's playing like he did earlier in the season where we were talking Vezina. And then there are times where he just seems a little off.
Yep.
And what's funny is you've watched hockey enough, and you can always look at a goalie and tell that it's just a tick off.
Yep.
But even when it's just a tick off, that can mean a goal. So I'm not like super concerned, because I think this whole team has another gear that they're going to find as they get down the stretch. I mean, they got 14 games left. We've seen them, you know, once they kind of, you kind of know where they're going to, which they could still get second in the division.
Yep.
I would say third or fourth is probably the most likely scenario in one of those wild card spots, but they know when to turn it on. And you know, with the draw that they would get right now, I actually like that better for them than what it would mean if they were to finish second. I think you'll see UC get to another level, but he's got to play more consistently, and he'd be the first to tell you that.
Well, and I think the way that I would describe it right now is, I don't think that he's been bad. I think that he is not saving their bacon as much as he was. And what I mean by that, like, yeah, the first off, puck management in front of him has been awful as of lately. That's got to get better. But more times than not in the past, UC Soros could bail you out. And right now, he's just not bailing them out quite as much as he was. So, look, I've seen him play enough hockey at this point. I think he'll bounce out of it. I think he'll be fine. But the fact of the matter is, Chase, like, if he's not that guy, like, if he's not bailing them out, they're not winning in the playoffs. Like, you have to have him playing at his top level.
Well, it's just like it was with Pekkarinen. If Pekkarinen wasn't on his A game, then they weren't going to go very far. And, you know, that's where and where I have seen a difference in things that I've seen the last few years is, at least this year, even if Soros hasn't been on his A game, you've still seen a lot out of Yossi, you've seen a lot out of Forsberg, you've seen a lot out of Duchesne. So at least you're getting the superstars to play that way. But I still don't think this team is at the point where if the goalie's off, they can bail him out just like he bails them out. I just don't think they're there yet.
I agree. Now, you brought up the standings. There's 14 games left. Right now they're in the first wild card spot, heading into play tonight with Vegas tied with them in points, although Vegas has played three more games at this point. Dallas 1 point behind you, Edmonton 3 points in front of you right now, and you've played two fewer games than the Oilers had. So it's right jumbled together right now in the Western Conference. What do you make of the spot the Predators are in right now? And as you look at the standings both in front of them and behind them, what's your confidence level at this point that, number one, they're getting in the playoffs and that they could do some damage? Right now, MoneyPuck.com has them at right around 83% to make the playoffs. So you're still feeling okay in that regard.
Yeah, I laugh when I see people on Twitter saying that they're not going to make the playoffs. Yeah. I do think they're going to make the playoffs. You know, have they – this is usually where you want to see them really play lights out, and they haven't done that. Now, like I said, 14 games left, they could you know, obviously turn that on. I think they play better when they have to play teams like Minnesota and St. Louis and, you know, Calgary and the teams in front of them. And guess what? They play Minnesota, they play Calgary. I mean, they have to play some of those teams coming up here soon. So I think that's a good thing. You know, Minnesota has really turned it on. They got 91 points sitting there in that second spot. They have a little bit of a cushion over St. Louis in the third spot.
9-0-1 in their last 10 for Minnesota.
And they upgraded at goal by getting Marc-Andre Fleury, who has a major chip on his shoulder going into these playoffs. The Predators at 82 points, four back of St. Louis. I still think third is achievable for them. So I feel like if the right things happen and they can get into a bit of a rhythm and get a winning streak going, they could certainly jump into third. I saw Vegas firsthand a few weeks ago at T-Mobile Arena and that shellacking that they gave the Predators. And they are reminding me of some Preds teams of old that everybody wrote off. And they said, oh, here, hold my beer, watch this.
Yeah.
Vegas has been beat up. I mean, that's the thing. Their superstars have all been hurt. And so, but they got Jack Eichel going. That's going to be big. I think Vegas could be a tough out. If they get there, they could be a very tough out.
I think what you're hoping for if you're the Predators there is it's too little too late and that the games in hand comes back to bite them. Because I agree with you. Like, I've watched them play a few times the last couple of weeks, and they look pretty darn good right now. So you don't want them keeping things going. I mean, the one thing if you're the Predators in Dallas, you've got in your favor right now is it's the schedule. It's three games in hand that you have on Vegas. And speaking of the schedule, you read off some of those games. Fourth hardest schedule in the league for the Predators coming down the stretch.
Yeah, so I believe it.
It is not going to be easy for this group coming down the stretch.
And Dallas is really the only other team behind them that I'm worried about. I think Winnipeg is too little too late. You know, they're in striking distance, but at 76 points. But I think they need to retool some things and then come back after they made the coaching change. So really, it's Vegas and Dallas that I worry about behind them, and then obviously Edmonton, currently in that third spot in the Pacific, but fighting for that wild card spot too.
Chase McCabe, our program director, fearless leader here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's another nickname I'm just going to add to your resume now. The suit, the constable. Now you're fearless leader.
Yeah, I'll take it.
That's what we appreciate.
That's
what we appreciate you coming on with us. We'll continue to take your thoughts here on Preds Insiders on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I'll tell you why if you're panicking right now as a Preds fan, maybe hold off a little bit. I've got some good news on the other side. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Robbie Stanley here with you, as always. Thanks to Chase McCabe for joining us in the last segment. And we mentioned the schedule that the Predators have coming down the stretch. You've got all sorts of playoff teams left on the schedule. They'll take on Minnesota tomorrow. Minnesota will be back in Nashville coming up on April the 24th as well. Edmonton on the list. Florida this Saturday, Pittsburgh in the second half of a back-to-back this Sunday, St. Louis, Calgary twice, Colorado. There's a whole lot of really good teams coming up down the stretch, and you're sitting here thinking to yourself, Robbie, you had some good news for me. Why is that good news that we're playing a bunch of good teams? The good news is 9 of those 14 games at Bridgestone Arena. So you've got a lot of home games coming up down the stretch to finish the regular season. As a matter of fact, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Colorado, Arizona, those are the only road games you have left. Just 5 of them on the road, including the last 2 of the regular season against a Colorado team that maybe by that point in the Western Conference, I would assume probably so, probably has things wrapped up, and we'll see if they play all their normal players that night. And then an Arizona team that, albeit is dangerous, given the fact that they can kind of be loose and not have much to play for, still an Arizona team that you should beat. So maybe not as daunting when you factor in that part of it coming down the stretch in the final week. But the 9 home games is interesting. You've got to take advantage of these if you're the Predators. We brought up the standings and looked at Minnesota. Like, you're 9 points back of the Wild right now. I find it unlikely that you're catching Minnesota at this point. But if you win them both those games head-to-head, then all of a sudden it's a 5-point difference if you win both of them in regulation. And then that could be the difference in you catching up with them or not. You got another game with St. Louis coming down the stretch. You got Ottawa this week. Like, to me, regardless of what happens tomorrow against Minnesota, which is a big game, you got to win that Ottawa game. Like, that's, you can't be dropping any more points to teams like Buffalo and Ottawa and Arizona on this list. San Jose, you got home next Tuesday as well. You need to beat the Sharks. Like, Chicago coming up on April the 16th at home at 11:30. Like, you need to beat the Blackhawks that day. There are so many games against these difficult teams coming down the stretch where you're going to lose some games if you're the Predators. You can't lose games to teams that you absolutely need to beat coming down the stretch. So the fact that you're at home, that should play to your advantage as you come down the stretch. I mean, it's interesting. You got Calgary coming in twice to in the last 2 weeks of the regular season. So on Tuesday the 19th of April and Tuesday the 26th, back-to-back weeks for Calgary coming into Nashville. So still lots of interesting matchups in the Western Conference. And look, if the Predators are going to make it into the playoffs, they're going to have to earn it coming down the stretch here. Quite frankly, the way they've played the last few weeks, in my mind, it's not good enough. They've got to be better. And I know they've had injuries and they've had, you know, some moving parts on the back end. Jeremy Lauzon's been playing with Matthias Ekholm, and they moved Carrier up with Josi, and it's kind of been a revolving door back there based on Fabro and Borowiecki being out. Hopefully those guys can be healthy relatively soon and be back in the mix. They got to play better. Like, they're not playing to their identity right now. They've fallen behind too often in games. They've not been able to, you know, establish their forecheck as quickly and as often as they would like to. And look, they've been taking penalties all year long, and right now it's costing them. I mean, other teams are getting on the power play, and they're making the Predators pay and put the puck in the back of the net. Like, you can't just continue to have a parade to the penalty box and think you're going to come out of there unscathed as you move down the stretch here. So I get it. We're getting closer to playoff hockey. I do think the refs start to swallow the whistle a little bit more as you're coming down the stretch, but they're not going to ignore obvious stick fouls and tripping penalties and holding, all these different things that have been plaguing the Predators throughout the season. They're not going to ignore that now. They're not going to ignore that in the playoffs for the most part either. So that's going to be something the Predators have to clean up as they come down the stretch here. And, you know, I obviously Forsberg and Duchesne still continuing to be productive, and especially on the power play as of late, they've been good. You need to see more out of that top line as they move forward. I think there's an energy level that they need to get back up to coming down the stretch here. And I think the second line, you got to do something about it soon if you're John Hines. It's not good enough 5-on-5 with Granlund and Tolvanen and Cunnan. The production specifically from Tolvanen and Cunnan, it's just not been acceptable this year. And I get it. Those two guys do a lot of things away from the puck that you like, and sometimes you're just snake bit. Not everybody can be going at once. I understand that. But it's not been good enough from those two guys offensively this year. So that's a big problem the Predators are going to have to fix coming down the stretch. But maybe an opportunity to do so with these home games that the Predators have coming up. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on a particular issue that's been plaguing the Predators as of late. Get his thoughts on where the team sits as they come down the stretch as well. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We caught up earlier this morning with Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase to get his thoughts on an issue that's been plaguing the Predators quite frequently as of late, and did so once again in this game on Friday against Buffalo. Here was that conversation with Darren McFarland from earlier this morning.
What did I make of that game? What I've been trying to figure out is the final five road games, what ceremony they're going to have, because that seems to be for the Predators, you know, honoring Rick Jeanneret, who's been calling Sabres hockey since 1842. So, well-deserved. Five decades, over five decades as being their voice. It's amazing. And you just, you know, it's like, I get it. It's a ceremony, and you're like, yeah, but then that goes away, and then you play the game, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, are they really? They'd sold out the barn first time at KeyBank Center in a couple of years. They that was their season, and I'm like, oh, great. You know, they're going to do it for Rick Jeanneret. You know, they're into this, and it's not the first time. So I was just sitting here going, let's see, what's Ottawa? Oh, boy, their owner just passed away. Well, there'll be a ceremony on Thursday for sure for that. Pittsburgh, Tampa, Colorado, and Arizona. I've been trying to figure out what ceremonies will they have for those road games when the Predators arrive. They just, you know, the other part of this, Robbie, is they just haven't gotten off to good starts. Like, they've given up the first goal six games in a row. They're digging themselves holes, and, you know, a lot of times they climb out of it. But, I mean, they were damn lucky. It was 3-3 after, you know, after 20 minutes on Friday. You know, like I said, they can dig themselves out of it, but do you always want to be digging yourself out of holes? My guess is no, you don't. Like, it would be nice to play with a lead and in control and dictating the pace and dictating, imposing your will on them, rather than sometimes when you're behind, then you got to start doing things a little bit differently. So, you know, better starts has got to be the theme. And look, I know no team ever gets in there and go, you know, bad starts on three, ready, break. I mean, nobody ever says, hey, let's get behind and let's try to catch up. But you can talk about it and, you know, but you got to get out there and you got to do something about it. And I understand they've got their way they're going about, they're doing things. And this is game 69 on the season tomorrow night. And, oh, by the way, teams scout you, so they understand what you're trying to do, but they've got to get off to better starts. This is the final push, and they got the fourth hardest schedule the rest of the way. It does not – this past week, which, you know, they got 4 of 6, those were non-playoff teams. There are very few non-playoff teams the rest of the way.
Yeah, maybe Crosby will announce that this is actually his farewell tour before the weekend.
Maybe, you know, so.
And really get him riled up in Pittsburgh. yeah. So, Darren, yeah, I agree. The slow starts, it's become a consistent thing. If there's an individual right now you're most concerned with slash most needs to get it going here as this schedule really intensifies, who would that be?
Who most – let's see, a person that you'd like to see get going. Well, I mean, there's nothing to say about the usual suspects that we've talked about for the last 2 years. So we know we can cross those names off the list. Roman Josi, we don't need to bring him up. Michael McCarron, you know, let's bring him. No, he's actually playing really well. 3 goals in the last 2 games. I think the answer really is what, unfortunately, Joe, the boring answer is just the second line has got to get things going. I mean, you know, Cunnan and Tolvanen. Tolvanen was brought in here to score. And I know they like everything else that he's doing, but he was brought in here to score goals. And they need more goals out of him. Cunnan, his production's got to be better. I actually like, and Tomasino's down on the fourth line, I actually like what he's doing. So, you know, I guess if you're going to pinpoint something, it would be him. But really, you know, scoring, really, I don't think it's been that big of an issue other than when they've dug themselves in a deep hole, especially on some of these road games that they haven't been able to climb out of. And that's, but other than that, I mean, this team has been able to score, Joe. I think it's cleaning up other things. This team has been pretty sloppy with the puck the last couple of weeks, which has also led to some of their losses. I mean, and really, and we've talked about this all year, guys, you know, their style when it's going, right, when they're forechecking, when they're doing what they do best, they're a really, really difficult out. But that's also hard to duplicate for 82 games. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but it just is. Think about it. You know, just trying to do the same thing. I mean, we all try to do the same thing on our shows, right? Every single day, 5 days a week for 4 hours a day. Like, bring the energy, bring the passion. That's all great, and that's awesome, and that's what we all strive to do, and that looks fantastic on paper. But is it easy to do 5 days a week for an entire calendar year? You know, if we're being honest with ourselves, right? Like, I'd love to admit the same drive, the same passion, feel the same way every single day throughout the calendar year. Well, that's not really the way human beings work, is it? I mean, like, there's just shows I'm sure you guys are like, well, okay, we'll get them tomorrow, right?
Sure.
We'll just go get them tomorrow. Like, okay, we'll be better tomorrow. You don't think that you don't think that happens? And I knew Joe was going to have a line. That doesn't happen in professional sports where these athletes are just like, man, I just don't have it tonight, you know? And, you know, it happens. And like I said, nobody wants to hear that. But it happens, and they're going to have to try to fix that in these final 14 games because, oh, by the way, anybody looked at the standings? Nobody's going away.
Oh, yeah.
No one's going away. And one day you're in the playoffs, and if you're not careful, a couple of days later, you're out of the playoffs. How tight are in the West?
Darren McFarland from Darren Donica Chase on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Darren, to that point,
You got Edmonton that continues to win games. Vegas has now tied the Predators in points, albeit they've played three more games than the Predators have at this point. And Dallas, they dropped a tough one last night to Seattle 4-1, but they're 1 point behind you. So what do you make of this race in the Western Conference? And as you're looking at really those four teams, I don't know if I'm quite ready to put Winnipeg in the mix yet, but those four teams with Edmonton, Nashville, Vegas, and Dallas, who do you feel, I guess, the best about if you're the Predators holding off at that point?
Well, you mentioned it. You know, the games in hand will help Nashville and Dallas because they've got three games in hand on Vegas, and so that certainly will play a factor. Now, you have to make the most of that and do something with that, but you're right. Vegas, I believe, has played the most in the Western Conference, or they've tied for playing the most in the Western Conference, so that will not serve them well. I think I don't know, Robbie. I don't know if anyone's going to go away. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, and I think I said it last week with you guys. I just kind of feel like this thing is going to come down to the final week of the season. And, oh, by the way, that final week of the season is four games for the Predators, two at home and two on the road. Minnesota here, Colorado here, Colorado on the road, Arizona to close out the season. Boy, it looks like Colorado has nothing to play for, and I think that's going to probably hold true, and that would be nice, right? Because there's probably a real shot Colorado maybe sits some players down for that, because when you need W's and you need points, two games against actually, it's Calgary. I said Colorado twice. Calgary, I'm losing my mind. Calgary here, Minnesota and Calgary here, Colorado and Arizona. That's not exactly you know, non-playoff teams. There's one non-playoff team in there. So I just think it's going to come down to the final week, and we'll see how it all plays out. But you hope that Colorado can sit, you know, that second-to-last game of the season. They're like, yep, nothing to see here. Wrapped up the one seed. So, hey, all you Stars, you take a seat. You don't play. Maybe that happens. That would be nice. Calgary, I don't think they're going to be able to run away with this, right? I guess the Pacific is going to stay pretty bundled up, and unless Calgary gets on a roll. Like, by the way, Minnesota, they got to play two more games against Minnesota. Minnesota's 9-0-1 in their last 10. Ever since they've made that trade for Fleury, they've been playing some pretty darn good hockey. And, oh, by the way, they can score at will. So I just think this is going to be tight all the way to the end. I think it's going to come down to the final week, and hey, that's fun, isn't it? And sometimes that's a good thing. We talk about this in football all the time. Is it the right thing to do to take like the last week off or the last 2 weeks off and then have a bye week? You know, we've seen, how many times have we seen teams get burned by this? Sometimes it's best just to have that playoff mentality going in to the playoffs. If you get in, right, you're playing hard all the way to the end, and then you just keep going. And then sometimes when teams take their foot off the gas and they kind of coast to the finish line because they can and they've earned that right, then it's kind of hard to like get things going again, right? In the playoffs, we've seen it, you know, burn some teams in the past. So maybe it's not a bad thing to be in this mode the rest of the way, because they're going to be. The rest of this month, they're going to have to be in playoff mode, and they're going to have to play like they are in the playoffs, and I don't know if that's a bad thing.
That was our conversation with Darren McFarland this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. You can catch Darren every Monday morning at 9 o'clock on Robbie and Rex Road, and of course, every weekday from 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Preds in action tomorrow night against the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A big one for the Nashville Predators tomorrow. We'll see if they can snap out of kind of a funk they've been in and start to play a little bit better, more towards that team identity that John Hines has been searching for. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.